Welcome to There Is Hope, a program dedicated to getting those trapped in addiction on the road to recovery and living clean and sober lives. The opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of this station, and any advice or counsel given is provided for informational purposes only. Your host for There Is Hope, the most vulnerable talk show host on Seattle radio, Richard Dover.
Well, welcome to There Is Hope. There Is Hope Radio is a live talk show, and what we discuss is the topics of addiction and recovery. So if you or someone you know is struggling with an addiction, then this show is for you. And we want you to know, there is hope. Each week, that's our message, that there is hope. We try to share that in a variety of different ways. Many times we have individuals that share their own story of how they were involved in alcohol, drugs, gambling addiction, sex addiction, whatever addiction it may be, and how they've been set free. Well, tonight's topic is titled, God Can Help You Heal, and we have a subtitle for it of Letting Go and Letting God. Many of you who are listening, or maybe someone you know that has used alcohol, drugs, or some other addiction, is doing it because of past emotional wounds and scars. They're trying to cover that up and hide from that those feelings, those wounds, that pain from the past. And so what they haven't learned is that God can heal you and that you can learn to let go of that past and let God do what he wants to do. So maybe you have some wounds, some scars. We hope that tonight we can share some principles. We have 8 principles. Not sure if we'll get to all of them. We'll see how far we get, but we have 8 principles that if you'll apply them in your life, it'll help you to be healed from the past. Letting go and letting God. God can help you heal. That's actually the title of a book that was written by Dr. Jans of The Sinner. And tonight we're going to talk about some concepts in that book. I love the book. I have given out multitudes of that book. I've recommended it to individuals. If you have some kind of emotional wounds, you have some scars from the past, you're just hurting. And you're just needing some encouragement and some principles to help you to get free from that past. It's a great book. What I want to start out with is a couple of verses in the Bible. It's actually my favorite verses in the Bible and something I've held on to for years that's helped me to move beyond my past when the enemy has really tried to throw that past at me. It's from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. That's Philippians chapter 3, and it's verses 12 through 14. This is written by Apostle Paul speaking, and this is what he has to say. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but there's one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Well, there's so much in there, and I could take a whole hour just talking about those passages there, but I just want to pick a couple things out of there before we really get into our topic. The Apostle Paul was saying that he presses on. Here's if you want to press, if you want to receive what God has for you, you have to press on. You have to push through. You have to just put all your energy into grabbing hold of which God has for you. And he says, he hasn't laid hold of it. Here's Apostle Paul. He actually was in jail when he wrote this to the Philippian church, and this was later in his ministry, and he says, I haven't grabbed hold of it yet, but I'm pressing on. I am moving forward. And here's what he gives as a key to move forward. In order to move forward, you have to forget what lies behind. How many of you are struggling with the past? Maybe you're struggling with unforgiveness towards others or yourself. Maybe you're struggling because you just feel like you're never going to make it, that your past just seems to repeat itself. I want to encourage you tonight, you can be free from past hurts. That God wants to set you free, that he wants you to be relieved of the guilt of the past. Maybe you need healing and there's something recent that's happened in the present here. You're not even dealing with the past. Some present hurts have taken place. Or maybe you've experienced healing in your own life, but you know someone who needs God to heal them. Well, we're going to give you some principles that I believe will help you out. So I hope you listen to the entire hour of the show, and we want you to know there is hope. Well, here's principle number one if you want to experience emotional healing. And principle number one is knowing the truth. The Bible says the truth will set you free. So the first principle is for you to know the truth. Now, I have some good news and I have some bad news. And I'm going to start with the bad news and give you the good news. Here's the first truth you need to understand. That every single one of us, every person that's listening, and me, myself, I, sitting right here in this studio right now, there's a fact that we have to face, and that all of us are sinners, and that we fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23 It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The first truth you have to face is we live in a fallen world. Those who have wounded you, who have hurt you, they're fallen people. You've wounded and hurt other individuals. It's because you're a fallen human being. We all fall short. That's the bad news. The bad news is we're all messed up, screwed up. And because of that, there's going to be wounds and scars from the past. Things that we've done and what others have done to us. The second truth, though, the good news, is the truth of God's love. Here's a promise that we have in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The good news is that if we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior and we go to Him and confess our sins, that He will cleanse us from our sins. All those things that we've done wrong, all those mistakes we made in the past, that as we confess those to God, He can cleanse us from it. He can remove the guilt and shame from it. If you're struggling with guilt and shame, I have a question for you. Have you really gone to God and really laid it all before Him? Have you said, God, here it is. Here's every bit of garbage. I'm just going to confess it all to you. Have you given it to God? The Bible says is when we confess our sins, He casts them as far as the east is from the west, that they're no longer in His memory. He forgets those sins, and yet we play them many times. So the first principle, if you want to get set free from the past, if you want emotional healing, is that, one, you need to face the truth of that you're a sinner and that others are sinners, and then, two, God's love for you. Well, let's go to principle number two. Principle number two is not just knowing the truth, but accepting the truth and giving grace. What we need to do, if we're going to experience recovery in our life, if we're going to experience emotional healing, if we're going to stop the bondage of addiction, the second truth we need to do is to accept the truth and not run from it. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure if you're struggling with an addiction, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Is that when we face the truth that we live in a fallen world, that life is the pits at times, most of us that have walked in any kind of addiction will run from that truth. We'll live in denial, and we'll have blame, and we'll pass blame to others. And what we do is we want to find a way to hide from that pain of the truth, of the reality, of the mistakes that we made, and the sins and the errors of others. But if you truly want to experience recovery in your life, if you really want to experience emotional healing, you have to come to the place that you face the truth, is that we all are in a fallen world, that we all have sinned, that it goes back and forth, us sinning, others sinning, and we don't run from it. We accept that truth, and then here's the next thing, is then we learn how to receive grace and give grace, that there is grace. And grace is more, you know, many will say the definition of grace is God's unmerited favor. And it certainly is. God's grace is out there to cover sin. But grace is much more than that. God's grace is to give us the ability to walk in victory. So I want to encourage you. You need some grace. I'm sure if you're listening to me, you need God's grace. You need God's mercy in your life. Are you willing to give yourself grace? And are you willing to give others grace? Now, maybe you've been at a place where, you know what, I'm at a place now where I can forgive myself for the past, but I'm certainly not going to forgive others. Well, if you have that mindset, here's what's going to happen. You're going to continue to walk in bondage. You're going to be a miserable individual, and you're letting those who've wounded you to continue to hurt you, even if they're long gone. You have that mother or that father, that spouse that maybe did something horrific that you have a lot of wounds for. If you don't learn to forgive them, you're going to walk in bondage. Well, that leads us to the third principle. The third principle to have emotional healing is forgiveness. If you want to have true healing in your life, you're going to have to learn the principle of forgiveness. I'm going to share something with you. This is hard. You may not like to hear it, but unforgiveness will lead to bondage. How many people do you know that can't get beyond the wounds of the past? They're stuck in their past. Well, I guess what? Maybe you're one of those individuals. You're stuck in your past. You don't know how to get out of it. Well, one of the ways to get out of it is to learn how to forgive. Now, I have some, again, bad news and good news. The bad news, if you're stuck in your unforgiveness, is that you're going to live a life of misery. The good news is you can forgive. God can give you the grace to forgive. And here's the truth. Forgiveness leads to freedom. The Bible has a verse in it. It's a passage of Scripture that talks about unforgiveness and the damage that happens. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. This is what Jesus said. For if you forgive others for the transgressions, I better start over. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. That's pretty powerful. It says, if we forgive others, God will forgive us. But if we don't forgive others, God will not forgive you. Man, those are pretty strong words. But here is the good news. If God says we need to forgive others, He will give us the ability to forgive others. Now, I could take the next hour talking about forgiveness. Tonight, we don't have that time. We're just giving you some principles. And one more thing before I go into the next topic is I want to share a story. It's a story about someone I know personally. It's actually about my sister. I don't think I have to worry about her hearing this story because we haven't talked in years and years. And, you know, to make a quick presentation of the story is because of a lot of wounding that went on when we grew up, a lot of mistakes, choices I made that were bad, just doing mean, terrible, hateful things to my sister, saying hurtful words, this damaging words. My sister became very bitter. She became bitter with my parents. And she lived just a couple of miles from my parents, but would have nothing to do with them. When my father died, she pretty much wrote off the relationship with the family. Then at my mom's funeral, which was a few years ago, my sister came to that funeral. Didn't say a single word. She walked over to the coffin, looked at my mom, talked to my mom for a few minutes, walked out, didn't say a word. But I'll tell you, I couldn't even hardly recognize my sister because she just looked ragged, beat up, older, 20 years older than who she really was. And that's what happens with unforgiveness. It beats you up. It beats you up physically. It beats you up emotionally. Beats you up spiritually. So I'm going to encourage you, you know, get some help on learning how to forgive. Well, the three principles we've talked about is knowing the truth. Number two is accepting the truth and giving grace. The third principle is forgiveness. When we come to back from the break, principle four, you're listening to There Is Hope.
More There Is Hope coming up with host Richard Dover.
Well, we've been talking about letting go and letting God. That the first step is to acknowledge the truth. The second step is to accept the truth and to walk in the grace of God. The third step, third principle, was unforgiveness. The fourth one is an attitude of gratitude. Now, if you've listened to this show, you know I've talked about this many times because I think gratitude is so important. It's so critical. So I want to talk just a moment here about gratitude. Well, before we go to the attitude of gratitude, we have somebody on the line. And I show here we have Dan on the line from Seattle. Dan, are you there?
Yes.
I have here that you wanted to share something or maybe ask a question about forgiveness or something that Jesus had to say about forgiveness.
First of all, this is the first time I've listened to your show.
Well, welcome.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to emphasize and remark on what you said about that passage, and I don't know the reference offhand, but where Jesus said, if you forgive others, God will forgive you.
Uh-huh.
If you do not forgive others, God will not forgive you. And I have really been, I won't even begin to tell you my story, what I've been through over the past 4 years. I was raised in the evangelical Christian church, and been through a lot of stuff, played with a lot of things. And I'm just really angry at the Christian church in America, where people go to Billy Graham crusades, say a sinner's prayer, and they think they're good to go.
Yeah.
But
there's been no transformation in them.
No. And Jesus made it very clear, if you do not forgive people, you're not forgiven. I've had friends who go to Mars Hill and other churches. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say names, but different churches in the area where they'll, you know, raise their hands and speak in tongues or whatever else, and it's all emotionalism. And they think that they're good to go with God, yet they hate their dads or they hate their moms. Or the brothers or sisters, and they're pissed off at them, but they think they're okay with God. And I'm just saying, you know what? Jesus did not say that. He said, if you do not forgive your brother or your sister or others, you're not okay with God.
Now, when you take that, okay, so, I mean, it's very clear. I mean, that passage is about as cut and dry as can possibly be, is how for yourself, you know, the many listeners are going to say, you just don't know what I went through. You have no idea what happened to me, and there's no way I can forgive. Well, I believe this. Without Jesus, there's no way to truly forgive, because you need the power of the Holy Spirit to give you true forgiveness. But for yourself, I mean, you have some, you know, obviously some hurts and wounds and scars that have gone on. How have you been able to learn to forgive?
Thank you very much for saying that, because everyone says, you don't know what I've been through. Everyone says that.
Yeah, everyone says that. You know what the reality is? I'll let you share here in a second, but the truth is pretty much it's the same story, different faces, different characters, but the story is we all have people who've been mean and rotten and terrible, and we've done the same ourselves, and that doesn't lessen the pain. I mean, there are different levels of pain, but, you know, my pain is different than your pain, but I was suicidal. And people would hear my story and say, well, how could you be suicidal? Well, that's my story, is I was suicidal. Don't lessen my story. But because I was suicidal and somebody isn't, doesn't mean they didn't go through their own pain. So how did you learn to deal with it?
Well, I thank you for saying that, because one of the things Solomon said was, no man knows another man's sorrow.
Yeah.
And one of the things I like I said, I was raised in the evangelical church. I went to church since I was a baby. I went to Christian school. And then I went through hell. Because of my own sin, because of my choices, I lost everything. And I kind of had this expectation that everyone at my church would swoop down and save the day and help us.
Yeah.
They did not. You've heard the old saying, the Christian army is the only army that shoots its wounded.
Oh, yeah.
And I've really been very humbled over the years. I'm still struggling. God's teaching me every day. It's all about loving people. We don't understand what other people have gone through. And that's one of the things we need to remember. As far as suicidal thoughts and people who have messed with drugs or sexual addictions or violence, anger, whatever it may be, gambling, or even people who are the good Christian people who go to church and, you know, listen to James Dobson every day, don't do anything wrong, and they've got their crap, I mean, their junk too.
Right.
And it's up to us to not judge anyone where they're at, because Jesus told us not to judge people. We can judge their actions and say, yes, that's wrong, but we can't judge their heart. We don't know what they've been through.
Yeah, I want to tag on to that, and I like this conversation. I don't know how far we'll go with it because we have a lot to cover, but you're hitting one of my topics I love talking about is I always tell people that, you know, the Bible, people say, well, the Bible says not to judge, and that's true. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between judging the heart and judging the fruit. And here's the mistake many make is, one, there's the group that says, well, you're not supposed to judge, so there's ugly fruit, but they're giving grace and mercy to someone who's wicked and evil, and that person just continues on with their behavior. Then there's the other side that people get into, and the next thing you know, they say they're judging the fruit, but they're really judging the heart, they're judging the motives.
Yeah.
And here's the key is nobody knows the heart of man. Now, it's true, if you have tons and tons of bad garbage coming out of your mouth, then probably the Bible talks about what comes out of your mouth is what's in the heart, and we understand that.
Sure.
But we don't know what that wound, that scar, that pain that somebody's going through is, and this doesn't justify wrong behavior either. It doesn't justify sin. But you don't know what that person has gone through in the struggle. For me personally, I can talk about my own story. I was an atheist, didn't believe in God, accepted Christ, gung-ho. I didn't know. See, when I accepted Jesus, it wasn't a prayer. When I accepted Jesus, it was sold out, because that's the only Bible I read. I read the Bible. You don't say a prayer and keep on living a sinful life.
Right.
You accept Jesus and you get sold out for Jesus. But I was a screwed up person, okay? And so I'm sold out for Jesus, but I'm doing a lot of screwed up, messed up things still. And looking on the surface at times, people would say, man, he really loves Jesus, but man, he's doing this or that. Mm-hmm. My reason of suicidal thoughts for years and all the struggles I had, depression, is because I couldn't learn to forgive myself, because my heart was right, but I was doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And then people would judge where my heart was at. And, man, I was doing everything I knew to serve God, but I was messed up, and my biggest problem is I didn't understand God's love. I didn't understand his mercy and his grace,
right,
and the power to be able to walk in victory.
Yeah.
And on the surface, people could judge me, but I knew where my heart is at. And so my whole life, my whole ministry since that time, I work with drug addicts, alcoholics, street people,
yeah,
mentally ill, prostitutes, screwed up, messed up people that are no different than me.
Right.
The difference is I've learned how to walk in a victory in a greater way. I've learned how to apply the principles. But my whole heart and my passion is the very people that get judged the most because of where I came from. And,
yeah,
and I think that part of that forgiveness is remember where you came from. When you remember where you've come from, when you know who you are in the eyes of God, a holy God, and how you fall short, I think it's a lot easier to forgive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and I just want to say one thing, and then I'll let you go. But I just want to speak to those who claim to follow Christ. People who go to church, that doesn't mean you belong to Jesus. It's all about, Jesus said, love God and love others. And the best way we can love God is by loving people. And you might be in a situation where you don't know how to speak to a person because you don't understand their situation, but it doesn't matter. Reach out to those people, love them. God will show you the way, and he'll do things behind the scenes that you have no clue how much he's going to bless it. So I've been seeing that in my life. God's been stretching me. And through the pain I've gone through, I would not go back. I would undo the sins, of course, but I would not undo what I've learned. And what he's been teaching me is love people no matter what. You're going to screw up. You're going to mess up. But just keep loving people. Reach out. Get out of your comfort zone, lazy Christian.
Yeah. Well, Dan, I want to thank you for calling. And believe it or not, when you hear the next two principles, you're going to see how your call tied into these. And so
right,
I want to thank you for calling. And I want to also encourage our listeners that this is why you need to call. Because when you call, you could share something that could really tie into the show and lead up to another area, another topic that shows how God is working in the midst of even as we're talking. So the fourth principle was gratitude. Let me see if I can tie this in to what we've just been talking about. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Did you hear what Dan said just before he hung up from the phone there? He would wish that he didn't do the sin he did in the past, but he doesn't have regrets from the past that it's God has worked in his life and building character in him and has changed him through what he's gone through. That's a heart of gratitude. That's thankfulness. It says thanks for all things in the name of Jesus. Giving thanks always for all things. Well, you say, I can't give thanks for some of the things that happened in my life. Well, it's not saying that if your son is, you know, is killed by somebody that you say, oh, thank God my son was killed. But it's the concept of knowing that God is a God that's in control, that he rules and reigns, and that all things work together for good for those who love God. So if you love God, all things are going to work together, and you can have a heart of thankfulness. So all that past that you have such a struggle with, can you actually at a come to a point where you can say, God, I don't thank you for the sin. I don't thank you for the damage that's done to me. I don't thank you for the sexual abuse. But I thank you, God, in the midst of all those things, you've carried me thus far, and you're going to carry me to the end. That I'm going to forget what lies behind, and I'm going to press forward. That's what the heart of gratitude is. And then the next one ties into Dan's call also. And that's principle 5, and it's that God wants to transform us. God wants to transform our character, and he wants to transform our mind. What God wants to see take place in your life is to have the fruit of the Spirit. Maybe you've never heard what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are you lacking some love in your heart? Well, Dan said he's gone through some tough times of the church. I'm sure part of the struggle he's had is because he wasn't forgiven for some of the things that he walked in that he's repented of. Well, if you want to learn how to love people, then I'll tell you what you do. You have to go to a place where you understand God's love. And there's only one way you can truly understand God's love, I believe, is when you go through a hard time and you see God come through. I was a person Before I knew Jesus, I was an atheist. I did not believe in God. I was a haughty, prideful person. I thought I was better than everybody else. I was going to be a cop and lock up everybody I could possibly find. And I had no passion for people, no compassion for people. I wasn't a man of mercy. I was a self-centered individual. God grabbed hold of my life, and then I went through hell. I accepted Jesus, and I went through hell for years. Depression, suicidal thoughts, an angry man, all that ugliness that I didn't know about. Those things didn't manifest themselves before I was a Christian. Before I was a Christian, I didn't manifest all kinds of anger. I didn't have depression. I didn't have suicidal thoughts. I was doing actually pretty good. I accept Jesus, my life turned a mess. You know why? Because I was a haughty, prideful man, and God had to take this man and take him and put him down on his knees. And that's what happened to me. So how did I learn about love and compassion? Going through hell and high water as a Christian. So I can say, am I thankful for my past on things? No. Do I wish things were different? Yes. Do I wish my parents were different parents? Man, it'd have been a lot easier. But I give thanks for what I've gone through and what I'm going to go through down the road. My life isn't over yet. I'm going to have to face some obstacles, some challenges. We face obstacles with this radio show. As much as we believe we're supposed to do it, every month we're short on finances. We wonder how we're going to do it. But we just say, God, if you mean for us to be on this show, you'll bring the support there. You'll bring the sponsors. You'll bring listeners that want to help support us. That it's not fun. It's challenging at times. But I thank God that he wants to transform my character and even using this radio show to do it. Another thing that God wants to transform is not only our character, but he wants to transform our mind. What he wants to do is give us a new mind. He wants to change how we look at life. If you're struggling with addiction, if you've struggled in the past, or you know someone that's struggling with addiction, you know that the biggest issue that people that have addiction issues is their mind, how they think, how they see life, that invariably there's issues that go on there. That most addicts think the world owes them something. Most addicts are very self-centered. Most addicts will not listen to godly counsel but reject godly counsel. Most addicts will do the same old stuff over and over again, hoping for different results. Anybody listening knows that that's called sanity, to keep thinking you're going to get different results doing the same things. So if you want to be healed of the past, if you want to get victory right here in the present, and you want to have a fruitful life in the future, you're going to have to renew your mind. Romans 12:2 talks about it. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." We're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed. And how do we get transformed? By the renewing of our mind, changing how we think, how we see life, relating to people differently. How do we change? How do we have a better life? Apply the principles. Accept the truth, to turn around and receive God's grace, walk in forgiveness, have an attitude of gratitude, allow God to transform our character. The next principle we're going to talk, we're not going to get to all of them, we'll see how far we get. The next principle we're going to talk about is going to, I think, be of real help to you, and that principle is spiritual intimacy. Stay tuned. There is Hope Radio.
We'll be back with more There Is Hope with Richard Dover. The Center has offered hope and healing for over 26 years. Discover freedom from anxiety and depression, from binge eating and other food struggles. Find peace in place of fear. Have a life without secret addictions. The Center features individualized whole person care. Click on aplaceofhope.com for more information, or for a no-cost consultation, call the Center toll-free, 888-771-5166. That's 888-771-5166.
Well, welcome back to There Is Hope. Glad that you're tuned in. We spend each week giving words of hope, giving a message of hope that there is ways out of addiction, there's ways to walk in recovery, there's ways to have a fruitful, productive life. So I encourage you, tune in each week. Check out our website, thereshoperadio.org. That's thereshoperadio.org. Well, tonight we've been talking about letting go and letting God. That there is a way to be healed from the past, to be able to walk as an overcomer. And we're not going to get to all that we could talk about in this short period of time. We have three more principles we need to share, and we're just going to touch on them real quick. Principle six, to being able to have emotional and spiritual healing in your life, is spiritual intimacy. And what that just means is what it says, have intimacy with God. To get closer to God, you want healing in your life? I'm going to tell you the key is to get closer to Him. There's many ways of doing that. One of those is spending time praying, reading His Word, reading the Bible. It gives you principles. It gives you hope. It gives you understanding to life situations. It gives you guidance and direction. Pick up the Bible. Get a translation that's easy to read if it's hard for you to read the Bible. Yeah, you go to any bookstore. They'll tell you what translations are easy to read, but get into the Word of God. Prayer is another way. Getting in prayer, getting into communion with God and talking with Him. Another way for spiritual intimacy is, you know, just to meditate on the promises of God. And as you meditate on them, I'll tell you what, you'll find a closer relationship with them. Well, principle seven is connections. Get connected with others. That's what going to church is about, going to a small home group, is get connected. Touch base with those who are walking in victory. Share your struggles. Get them to pray with you. They're there. People are there. Believers are there for you, for your strength. Find a good church, a church that's going to encourage you and build you up. Principle eight, last principle, is called vision. Need to have vision. I want to share a Bible verse that talks about vision. It's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. What that's saying is God has good plans for you, that He has plans for a future and a hope for you. Well, you know, we're running out of time here. Listen to me. Today can be a new beginning. Today can be a time where you can be set free. You don't have to have years of counseling or go to meetings the rest of your life. That's not to say counseling isn't good. It's not to say that going to some meetings may not be of help to you. But God wants to set you free. And all it takes is making a conscious choice to apply the principles we've shared with you. It takes submitting your mind, your spirit, and your body to the will of God. It takes coming to the altar of God and saying, God, do surgery on my heart. I need you to work in my life. It takes crying out to God, God, set me free. I want you to know that there is a way out and that there is hope. Now, I believe as we get coming close to the end of this show, that that hope is Jesus Christ as being your Lord and Savior. That's how you can get set free, is truly allow Jesus to take control of your life, that He can give you peace. He can give you hope for eternal future. I'm not going to say it's going to all go easy. It might get tougher. But then you have the strength and power of Jesus Christ in your life to be able to make it. So will you make that decision? If you've never made that decision, maybe tonight. You've been thinking about it. You've heard about it. You've heard about being born again. I'm going to encourage you. How about going to God and confessing to Him, I'm a sinner. God, I'm a sinner, and I need you as my Savior. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, and I ask you to take control of my life, and then make a decision that you'll turn away from sin and walk towards God. If you will do that, you can experience salvation. You can experience freedom in your life. You can get the strength that you need to walk in victory.